Welcome to a special edition of Irish Illustrated Insider. We are just outside the Notre Dame Baseball Stadium because Notre Dame Football Stadium will be occupied by the Luke Combs concert tonight, and as a result, we are inside the Irish Athletic Center for the annual spring jersey scrimmage, won today by the offense, and I just wanted to let you know we will actually have a two-segment podcast here, but this time without questions. It will be broken down into offense, where I will talk with Drew Mentok, and defense with Tim Priester. Welcome to Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis. I'm Tim O'Malley, joined by Tim Priester. We are outside the baseball stadium because Luke Combs' concert is inside the football stadium. As a result, as I mentioned, we were inside the Irish Athletic Center, which made it actually very convenient to watch today's jersey scrimmage. It was won 34-31 by the offense. Tim Priester, you were watching defense. You're watching the whole field, but you were watching defense, and that's what this first practice report is about. They lost 34-31, as Marcus Freeman said.
I didn't even realize that they were keeping score.
The jersey scrimmage is about keeping it as close as you can for a field goal to attempt to win it at the end in terms of the scoring system, not keeping it as close as you can. Spencer Porath drilled a 40-yarder. We might as well mention Spencer Porath was 9-for-9 today because there was a practice segment of today as well, some drills before the jersey scrimmage. But people don't want to hear about that part. They want to hear about what you saw in the jersey scrimmage defensively.
Well, the offense won, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think we know this defense is going to be really, really good. They weren't real exotic. They didn't bring blitzes. Right. They were trying to get a pass rush with four. And I will say, I mean, in defense of the defense, I tell you, it's awfully intimidating just watching it, let alone being an offensive line when Bryce Young and Boubacar Traore are both in a stand-up position on the edge. That's pretty menacing. And then I asked Marcus Freeman about the interior defensive line because, you know, I said, do you see it? Do you feel that greater size on the inside by adding Teyon Gray and Francis Brew, who's more, more strength rather than absolute size, I guess, or poundage? But yeah, I mean, you know, and then you throw in the, you know, Sevillano on the inside as well, and you've got and Armel Mukum coming back, and you've got big bodies. So there's plenty to build there. But I thought the fact that the offense won today, that's a really good sign. Drew will talk to offense and all the superlatives from that. But Christian Gray is a guy that I thought really stood out today. Dallas Golden is sidelined with a back issue and won't participate in the blue goal game. But he was one of the guys that I thought really step forward and look good today.
Yeah, the defensive line was the group that rotated the most, we should mention, for this podcast, for this instant analysis as well, and all of our practice reports. It was ones versus ones, twos versus twos, and then a little bit of twos and threes mixed also in there as well. Blake Hebert did not participate today because he tweaked a muscle in his leg in the previous practice. So you'll hear a lot about Noah Grubbs when we talk offense. Going back to the defensive line you mentioned, I thought Teyon Gray had the best day. He definitely had the best play by splitting a double team. Marcus Freeman talked about that. Freeman mentioned that Brew has been hampered a little bit in previous practices. He was back working on it today. That's not surprising because when I was writing down names, Francis Brew, who was a starter basically, was coming in last during drills, like the last man to participate. I'm like, oh, obviously he has been pushed to the back because he's returning from injury. Of note, they rotated enough where the ones to start off were Cole Mullins and Armel Mukum in the middle. And I mean, they really weren't there very often afterwards, but they rotated very heavily up front. I thought Mukum did some nice things. I think it's notable that they started this jersey scrimmage with a goal line drill. They put the ball on the two, maybe the three-yard line. It was down at the other end. Sean Sevillano and Armel Mukum joined the defensive line. Sevillano was involved in a stuff. They stopped three of four plays. You mentioned Christian Gray had a pass breakup against Jordan Faison and C.J. Carr in a goal line drill. Not a goal line drill, goal line live. That is difficult. Eventually, Nolan James got in.
Yeah, you know, I also thought that Rodney Dunham made a tackle for loss on
through
Nolan.
Will Black.
Through Will Black on Nolan James. Nolan James had a good day. I keep wanting to talk about the offense. I'll leave that to Drew and you. But, you know, I think there were a lot of guys on the D-line that stood out. I agree. Mukum got the first opportunity. Yeah. I thought he made some plays. There's some good players there. But, again, I think the fact that the offense got the best of the day. You know, Mark Zachary's back there alone sometimes in one-on-one coverage against a Mylon Graham or Jordan Faison. I don't know. I think defenses in general are going to have a hard time with that wide receiver duo.
The difficult thing, and Drew was pointing this out when we were walking over, is if you're going to play a little bit of base defense, that base nickel and base defense, you're going to get cut up by C.J. Carr in the zone. I mean, there just weren't enough exotic blitzes, so you're at the disposal of Carr, Mylon Graham, and Jordan Faison. You mentioned Mark Zachary gets a little bit of action because Leonard Moore doesn't. At some point, they threw to Leonard Moore. It was, of course, incomplete and out of bounds. And I asked Marcus Freeman afterwards, how do you even evaluate what Micah Gilbert and your future W's, Quincy Porter, maybe Jaden Greathouse moves over there since they have so many options here in the slot and at the X position, Greathouse out again today with the hamstring. How do you kind of evaluate those guys? And CJ Carr knows not to throw the letter more, too. I mean, if it's a live scrimmage you're trying to win, you're going to pick on 15?
You give a quick glance over there, and then you give up on that. I do want to talk about, speaking of the secondary, I do want to talk about Luke Tellis, because we spent the week talking about him coming off the edge. And I think, you know, at least in my mind, I pictured him lining up on the edge and rushing the quarterback. I don't think that's how they will use him. And first and foremost, he is a safety because he had a pick, almost a pick six for about, I don't know, 60 yards or whatever.
Won.
He got tripped up, but you know, he is a safety first, but the way they used him, we saw it a couple times where he comes off the edge in space. You know, he's still back on the second, third, you know, maybe the second and a half level.
It's almost an overhang safety position.
Exactly. It's not like he's aligning along the line. And I'm sure there are occasions where he lines, you know, right on the line of scrimmage, but that's kind of a secret weapon where you can bring a 6'4", 222-pound guy from space against the quarterback.
Yeah, Talich had a good day because he had a couple of run blitzes, and his interception, we should point out, because CJ Carr was the star of the show, was not against CJ Carr. It was twos versus twos when Talich had the pick. Brought it back about 60 yards, and I don't know if you noticed him, went safe, center Cam Heron dove and tackled him about 10 yards short of the end zone. This was in the middle of practice, but that would have been a win for the defense. They would have won the Jersey scrimmage. Yeah. He did not score, and Heron got up and was celebrating because he realized he took some points off the board for the defense on that one. Yeah, the secondary, it's tough going to get CJ Carr, but you still see them making plays. And it's still very, very, can I throw another variant? Very chippy out there when you have Tay Johnson and Jordan Faison.
It's chippier than it was the first practice we saw.
Well, this was in pads. So that's that. There's Cooper Flanagan and Jalen Steed may have to figure something out along the way just to see, have a fight once and for all, because they get into it every time we see them go.
Yeah, and it was heated today. I mean, Jalen Snead was really upset, and Cooper Flanagan was coming at him, helmet off. He didn't care, helmet off. He was coming at Jalen Snead. So, look, my only concern is don't take that into game situations. You can't take swipes at people.
Right. Those were penalties they should have called because it would have stopped it in the scrimmage, probably.
Right. I mean, as long as they understand that can't carry over onto Saturdays in the fall, but look, it's really, really competitive. That secondary is salty. Don Shuler, there was talk about him breaking up fights. He's causing a few back there. That safety tandem of Shuler and Tay Johnson is just absolutely spectacular.
You made an observation, and he did make a nice play on the edge today. Joey O'Brien does need to fill out his frame. You mentioned he is 6'5", first of all, so you can look skinny when you're a 6'5", 17-year-old.
He looks like a tall freshman receiver right now.
Exactly. He made a play on the back end, and he's clearly working with Ethan Long there as kind of the rotating in twos and threes. I didn't think Ethan Long flashed at all today, but that's also a good thing when you're a safety. We'll get to the offense. The big plays did come against when you intermix some walk-ons in there defensively. But, Tim, I want to get your impressions on the other two linebackers, because Teddy Rezac and Ko'u Kia are not going to beat out the five linebackers.
No.
But they get a lot of work because Drake Bowen, not involved today, running sprints, and Madden Frameau, not involved in tackling. He would go in when they would do some thud periods.
Yeah, Marcus Freeman mentioned Kia and Rezac. And, you know, the thing that I was looking for with them, are they sudden? Are they playing free and easy? And so you can tell that these guys, you know, they've been in the program and they understand what's expected of them. There's no hesitancy after the snap of the football. So, you know, you're right. I don't know how they see the light of day now. They would need a bunch of injuries, and nobody wants that to happen to the Notre Dame defense. But guys like Rezac and Ko'u Kia are quick studies. And when the pages turn at the linebacker core, those will be the next men up.
Kind of wrap it up, and there'll be a detailed practice report where we get a lot more of the ones and twos. As I mentioned, though, the ones for the defensive line is hard. It was a heavy, heavy rotation because Cole Mullins and Armel Mukum aren't the starting inside guys, but that's how heavily they rotated. They went
It's Bryce Young, Abubakar Traore, and then the two transfers,
Brew and Gray.
Tackle.
Would you say Gray, probably the guy that the starter ones versus ones, if Talich was the twos versus twos that stuck out the most, maybe Tion Gray?
I think so. You've got to account for him every time. The double team that I think we all saw him, you know, split was impressive, but you have to account for him, and that's why I asked Marcus Freeman about those big bodies inside. It's a you know, Donovan Heinisch and some of the smaller guys that have played that position, it's tough. It was tough for those guys. But you get those bigger bodies in there, and it's a little bit more difficult for those interior offensive linemen to have a good day against them.
We'll have a full practice report on the Irish defense on IrishIllustrated.com. And we'll also segue quickly to Drew Mentock, because Drew Mentock watched the offense. And quite frankly, if you're trying to pick out guys, there's more to pick out on the offense today. Yes. It was a good day by the offense, and we'll tell you why. C.J. Carr is great. And the offensive line did its job, allowing people to have a good day offensively.
And Devin Fitzgerald's pretty good, too.
He is. He still makes plays, doesn't he? For Tim Priester, I'm Tim O'Malley. This has been Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis, the defense on April 18th's Jersey scrimmage. Welcome back to Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis. This is take two after some technical difficulties when Drew and I got together outside of the Irish Athletic Center for today's Jersey scrimmage. Part one included Tim Priester and I talking about the Irish defense. Drew Mentock, you followed the offense for the entire day. The offense won, both on the scoreboard, 34-31, and in reality, with those of us watching who just felt the offense had a very good day, and in fairness, you pointed this out on a walkover, in fairness, the defense played a very vanilla scheme today, a lot of zone coverage, but when you do that, that number 13 guy wearing a red jersey can pick you apart.
Yeah, you definitely see why he's on a lot of people's lists as a Heisman Trophy favorite, considered a potential first round top 10 pick next year in the draft. He makes quick decisions. He processes things very fast. I think Pete Sampson asked him in Marcus Freeman's press conference after, is that like what you've been getting? And what does it do for your offense when you have a guy who can just see things so quickly, get to his third or fourth read right away? And Marcus Freeman's like, it makes a lot of things go. He talked a lot about too, like, you don't need a coach to be telling you everything. I know they have headsets. They can talk to him up to a certain point, but C.J. Carr can see the defense. He can read things. And as you mentioned, like, he had some beautiful throws against zone. Sometimes I thought he was throwing the ball away, but he was just putting it right between two defenders to, for instance, a Mylon Graham, you know, 25 yards on the far sideline. So just a lot of great throws. Didn't really, I think he had one ball tipped the entire day, and that was in a goal line setting where Christian Gray got his hand on the ball, and it was in 13 personnel. So when they passed it, there's only one place the ball was probably going to. But other than that, he just had a really good day. Didn't have too many incompletions and spread the ball around a little bit.
To lend context to this, C.J. Carr was ones versus ones, so he faced the ones. Noah Grubbs, backup quarterback, twos versus twos, and also a mixture of twos and threes versus twos and threes. So it was fair. The entire matchup is the best way to point it out. Defensive line rotated a lot. Tim Priester and I talked about that. But we mentioned earlier, in take one, Mylon Graham had a good day. Jordan Faison had a great day. And then against the twos and threes, mostly against the threes, a little mixture. I think you have the notes on this more than I did. Devin Fitzgerald had another really good day, including the best catches and the longest play of the day.
Yeah. He came out, I think that was maybe with the threes, but it was a quick slant over the middle, and he just beat his man, and he ran the rest of the way and outran everybody. And he had another play that Grubbs kind of threw it up to him in the end zone between two guys, and he kind of made an acrobatic catch. So he looked good. He also got some, you know, short throws and just kind of comeback routes and stuff like that too. So you saw, and he's by the end of practice, he's working a little bit more with the two. So you definitely see a lot of the different things he can add. And as you mentioned, Graham, good day. You saw him working in the slot a lot. He's good at getting open over the middle. He also, at the end of practice, they put Bubba Frazier in with the ones at slot so he could play some field where Faison was. And you saw him making some plays like that too. And yeah, Jordan Faison is just maybe, other than C.J. Carr, one of the most competitive guys in the offense too. And you saw that today. He had seven catches, kind of did things over the field, had a really good move on Mark Zachary for a deep ball. Then he got a little chippy and got flagged with Tay Johnson. It was probably the one negative play he made all day, as he probably took his shoving a little too far after that. But overall, those three, I think, amongst the wide receivers, really stood out today.
And it was I wouldn't say it was a rough day for Micah Gilbert, but the boundary receivers don't get open. They're going against Leonard Moore. I asked Marcus Freeman about that. How do you evaluate it? He's like, well, it can't just be the result, because your results aren't going to be great. If you're the boundary receiver in practice, you'll get a little more work than we saw today. If you're the boundary receiver in a scrimmage where they keep score and the offense wants to wear the blue jerseys for the rest of the year and they want to have the better meal, C.J. Carr's not going over there as much, because just like the opposing quarterback isn't going to test him as much unless you're Stanford. Micah Gilbert will not flash in practice reports. Just to wrap it up for the wide receivers, Jaden Greathouse still out.
with the hamstring. I don't think he has been a participant, but we should follow up on that. Maybe he was involved in light scrimmage or light thud duties at some point where we didn't see it. But this jersey scrimmage kind of seems to indicate he would have kind of had a lost spring, Drew, because I can't imagine he would partake in full contact blue gold game at this point next Saturday.
Yeah, and you have to think too, the coaching staff is just not going to want to risk any further aggravation with that entry. I mean, at this point, it's probably getting harder and harder to count on, but you want to do everything you can to make sure he's ready to go for fall and that he can have that full participation then, because especially with what we've seen from Mylan Graham, maybe there's a chance for him to move around a little bit, try some boundary. As I mentioned in our previous recording, Cam Williams did struggle a little bit in that second team boundary role. Played a little bit of first team, had to go up against Leonard Moore in a block. Did not look good doing it. Prevented a potential third down conversion there, and then also had a drop pass. So obviously Quincy Porter will come back too, but Jaden Greathouse, those first three starters played pretty much most of the time with the first team. So those guys are looking good, and we'll see how they start working Jaden Greathouse in once he's hopefully healthy in the fall.
We'll get to the tight ends, offensive line, and running backs next. Well, but we should talk about Noah Grubbs. Never went against the first team, which were, that's very notable when you make these throws. But he kept his head about him in some adverse situations. Tremendous. I thought it was a tremendous throw to Fitzgerald. I at first thought it was Saldate, but you pointed out it was Fitzgerald. It was at least Joey O'Brien, if not Joey O'Brien and Ethan Long there. And that was a passing situation where he delivered a 25-yard strike. So Grubbs, good day. Going against the twos. He did not have to go against the likes of Adon Shuler and Leonard Moore. But I think Noah Grubbs, especially with Blake Hebert out after we believe he's a knee strain of some type because he had a knee brace on today. Marcus Freeman didn't said it was probably not serious, but it was all Grubbs as the backup quarterback today.
Yeah, and he had one negative play, or really negative play. He got picked up by Luke Talich trying to complete it to Jack Larson over the middle. And I mean, mentioned earlier, like it almost looks a little unfair with Luke Talich out there with the twos going against the second team offense, because he may play a lot of plays today, as you guys discussed in the defensive incident analysis. But other than that, I thought Grubbs looked poised. He took care of the ball well, and he had a dealing with the different centers. It was Cam Heron, and I think Chris Tarrick also rotated in a little bit. He had to deal with some bad snaps. He had one go over his head into the end zone. He wisely recovered it and just tossed it out the back of the end zone rather than trying to do something with it and turn it into a touchdown. And then at least two or three rolled to his feet, and every one he picked up cleanly and got rid of it quickly. I think he completed one of them as well, but at least it was, I'm making a quick decision and this isn't going to be a negative play. So I think if you're like, or no Grubs, and you're competing for that second string, showing you can handle some adversity, showing when those guys are rushing at you, and something goes wrong, you can not turn it into a disaster, is going to be pretty key for these young guys vying for that spot. So Blake Hebert tweaked his knee in practice, we think, yesterday. Marcus Freeman said he did get injured. He was wearing a knee brace, so we're assuming it's that right knee that's bothering him. I mean, that's definitely a day where Noah Grubbs did some good things that probably helped him in that competition, while Hebert had to watch. Other than he did throw in individual drills a little bit.
And you mentioned Luke Talich's interceptions, returned about 60 yards, short of a touchdown. I'm going to point this out only because this is part of the reason the offense won. Backup center Cam Heron didn't chase him down, but backup center Cam Heron was the last line of defense. He tackled Talich. Talich ended up doing a flip and landing at about the 8-yard line. Heron got up celebrating, pretty happy because that ended up winning it. It was earlier in practice, but those would have been points for the defense, and the offense won on a field goal, of course. So that's semantics, but Cam Heron making a hustle play there against Talich. Tight ends heavily involved in the run game, of course, especially Cooper Flanagan. Cooper Flanagan is involved with Jalen Snead, among other defenders, in the post-snap, post-whistle extracurricular activities. No change today. Flanagan and Snead really getting into it. At one point, they probably crossed the line because I think Snead was going after Flanagan, who had his helmet off, and Flanagan wasn't turning away with that helmet off. But not a lot in the passing game for Cooper Flanagan today. Great catch, while we just kind of wrap up the Grubbs thing. Great catch by Jack Larson over the middle on what you believe was actually a little bit of a mistake by Grubbs, but Larson bailed him out.
Yeah, Gino Guidulli came over to Grubbs right after the play to kind of instruct him. So I think he threw it. I mean, I think Larson was probably more open than the throw would have looked made it seem, but he did throw it off to his right. And I mean, Grubbs is a pretty good arm, so he darted it over the middle, and Larson laid out to his right and pulled in the snag. So it was really impressive. And yeah, I mean, they definitely ran some 12 and 13 personnel, especially 13 in goal line. So we got to see some of those different tight ends. I mean, Flanagan definitely adds a different level of blocking that we maybe didn't always see last time. James Flanagan looked good. He went with ones and twos. Ty Washington is still out there mostly with the ones. Didn't see a ton from him in terms of like really flashing in that regard, but having Cooper Flanagan out there just adds an edge that I think this team needs, especially when they're trying to run block without Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price running.
He will be a fan favorite, and he would be even more of a fan favorite if they were able to see what we see when he gets into his practice scuffles. Because it's usually because he is finishing a play so hard. I mean, I think I know where these come from, and nobody likes to get pancaked to the goal line, and that's when fights start sometimes. Offensively, we might have buried the lead a little because the offensive line was very good today. I think. I don't remember too many jersey scrimmages, blue goal games, and when they weren't jersey scrimmages, but we'd see 6 or 7 periods of one-on-one or ones and ones, twos and twos, where I thought the offensive line won. I thought they won today. I thought they did a
I
really good
agree.
job. You have some nitpicks, but you agree with me that they really won, but you're able to kind of narrow down some things as well.
Yeah, I think it helps that you have CJ Carr back there. He gets rid of the ball so quickly.
Yeah.
So as I noted, they have a big screen kind of in the practice facility that replays the most recent play. So you would see maybe the edge rushers were getting home, but CJ Carr just gets rid of it so quickly. But in terms of getting beat, I think there's Will Black got beat by Rodney Dunham pretty bad on a run play to the opposite side of the field. That Dunham made a tackle for a loss. It was a really impressive play. Kirby Lambert got beat once for a sack, which Traore had the sack. Maybe he didn't really get there. CJ Carr, as
Red
you've
jersey, the red
noted,
jersey.
in a red jersey, didn't think it should have been a sack, and he did get rid of the ball, but they blew the whistle. And then Sullivan after, I don't recall who beat him, but he got bulldozed up the middle for the only probably legitimate sack of the day. So those are some nitpicks, but overall, yeah, I agree. This is probably the best in all the jersey scrimmages I've seen that the offense has looked, especially the offensive line. And again, I think going back to Marcus Freeman, I think CJ Carr is picking up a lot. He's helping those guys a ton. But for considering everybody except for Joe Otting is in a different position than where they finished the fall last year, I thought they looked good. There's a lot of cohesion. I think Anthony Knapp and Will Black are doing well together, and that's a good sign given where we are. And this is likely what they go to at least into fall camp with in terms of starters. So I think that's a good sign in terms of building more cohesion.
About a 9-yard cutback touchdown run by Nolan James, which wonderful jump cut, and that's what made the run. But a hole was paved at that point. There was a after that jump cut, he was through the hole. Nolan James is a really good day, and he is 100%. He's in no bears no resemblance to the way Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price play football. He is hit him when he has 2 yards, and he ends up turning it into 4.5. Hit him in the backfield, he gets 2. Hit him after 7, he gets 9. That's the Nolan James way. I think Aeneas Williams has a lot of that in him too. But we asked Marcus Freeman about it, and he just said, "Yeah, we have seen Nolan James do this ever since he arrived on campus. He just had no chance of beating out the guys that were in front of him last year. Different look at running game, but an effective, efficient running game, I think."
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Freeman also talked about how he's a unique body type. He's powerful, he's compact, he's explosive, and he stays low so well too. So I think even some of those tough yards, like he's not bouncing things outside unnecessarily. He's gonna go hit his hole and try and drive the pile at the very least. So he didn't have a ton of negative plays or anything like that. And I agree, it's very rare that he gets taken down on first tackle. And he's going against the ones too. So there are times where he's making Jalen Snead and Jaden Osbury and guys like that miss. And there are a lot of times where I wrote down that should have been a 3 or 4 yard pickup, and it was 7 or 8 yards. So he's not gonna take it for 20 or 60 like Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price would have necessarily, but he makes a lot of guys miss. He gets tough yards, and he definitely had a good day.
Aeneas Williams wore the red protective jersey, which he'll wear in the blue gold game. There was thud periods. If people don't know what that is, you are allowed to hit but not tackle. Aeneas Williams took part in a couple of those. He actually kind of set a lot of those out as well. So we don't get to see the true Aeneas Williams until next August with that elbow surgery. The elbow, if people don't know, bad injury mid-August last year. He said he didn't feel okay until week 4 or 5, and then he still needed surgery at the end of the season. But I mean, it's gonna be interesting to watch those two guys run. And you know, both they're so I gotta quit saying small, but the way they run at 5'9", 200 pounds or whatever that range is, they take beatings, so they need the two of them. And they might have a third right now because it was twos versus twos, but Drew Jonas Walton looked good today, and he had the two longest runs of the day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he got in one run is all with the first team when Nolan James needed a break. But yeah, he was running with the twos a lot. He had a lot of really good runs. He's a similar size, at least he's around 5'9", 5'10", as you mentioned. But he has an extra burst and extra gear that I'm not sure those other two have. So I think it was really good to see some of the things he can do when he didn't. Wasn't also avoiding contact or bouncing things out necessarily. But when he gets into space, he looked really comfortable. The game almost seemed like it slowed down a little bit. And then he kind of makes a lot of cuts. And yeah, as you mentioned, broke open two big runs where it didn't necessarily look like there was going to be much there, but he found a hole and just hit it hard. So he's going to, I mean, I still think he's the third running back right now. But knowing that they have a different guy that they can potentially work in there, Marcus Freeman said after practice that he needed to learn a little bit about, the physicality and doing thud and stuff like that. So it took him a few days to adjust to practice, but after three or four practices, he's really been looking like a college running back. And that's a good sign for Notre Dame this fall because you have three, I guess 2.5 healthy running backs right now. Knowing all three are doing good things in practice, I think gives you a lot of reassurance going into the fall. And especially if they can add slightly different skill sets with Williams, they can all pass, catch the ball, they all split out wide at certain points today, but Williams is definitely the best receiver of that group too.
I think if you're trying to do quick cliff notes on this, it would be Devin Fitzgerald was the best when it's threes and twos, maybe twos and threes. CJ Carr when it's ones and ones, and Jordan Faison as well. Actually, we really should point that out. Faison, he is in a way fits right into that backfield. When he catches the ball, that it's not over. And when he breaks tackles on Adon Shuler, on Tay Johnson, on whoever's on him, he gets 3 or 4 more yards, and that's why there's so many scuffles with Faison. But he's a guy that when he breaks one and stays up, there could be 40 more. And I don't know if Notre Dame fans appreciate how Jordan Faison is, as much as we like the addition of Mylon Graham, Jordan Faison is the number one target right now.
No, definitely. And I think too, Marcus Freeman brought this up that usually he gets to this point where he is right now in the fall because he missed the spring because of lacrosse. And then now he is already getting to this point. He's like, we see this every fall camp. Now we think he's going to be already at that point over the summer and he can build on that too. So, I mean, he plays with an edge. I know he's not a big guy, but he might be the toughest guy in that wide receiver room. I'd have to think he is. And he plays like that. Plus, he's explosive. They get in the ball in space. He can do a lot of different things. He did have one really nice, I think I mentioned earlier, move on Mark Zachary too. So he gets downfield as well. But I think being able to do both of those things kind of makes you an ideal field receiver too. Because if they play off you, you can do something in space. If they play tight, he can beat them over the top. And he certainly shows both of those abilities.
No injuries to speak of. The offensive line looked good. CJ Carr looked great. And the offense won as a result, 34-31 in the much anticipated Jersey scrimmage. For Drew McIntock, I'm Tim O'Malley. Thank you for watching Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis.